Thank you, Lord Jesus. You were risen from the dead. Thank you. We can declare Hosanna. Hosanna to the King. Lord God, we commit the rest of this evening to your hands, God. And we say this is your night, God. It's not just about us, God. It truly is about you, Lord. God, we declare that we need you. We need your grace, Lord. We need your mercy in our lives, God. We declare, God, we don't have everything figured out. And God, if you would remove your presence from us, God, we would surely die. And our breath would leave our bodies. So, Father, we thank you for your hand that rests upon us, for your love that surrounds us. Have your way here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. Okay, good evening. It's great to have you with us. I'm always humbled when somebody would take the time to listen to me. And if they come back, I'm astounded. So it is great to have you with us. And this evening, who wasn't here last week? Just a quick show of hands. Okay. Okay, you're welcome to download it from the internet. This message should be able to should stand on its own, but it will probably mean a bit more if you were here last week. It sort of builds up to one another. And so last week I shared with you guys, I shared about this athlete. I shared about this man who was practicing for 20 years, 6 days a week, even scheming on Sundays to practice when his pastor wasn't looking. And so after 20 years, he had this big track event, this 100 meters, and he ran it with all his heart. You remember the explosive bits? For those who were here last week, there were some explosions happening. And he stormed the 100 meters in 9.2 seconds, and he was amazed. He was astounded. He was kicking himself. He was rolling around on the floor, on the ground. He was running around with a flag, and then he realized there's nobody there. There's nobody there, no crowd, no friend to high five, no family. And then you have to ask the question, so what? So what? Achieving this wonderful thing, but there was nobody there to share it with. And I must say, I think the older you become and you start experiencing life and relationships, you come to value that more than achievements. And I'm thinking, this athlete, this amazing athlete that did it in 9.2 seconds, I would like to compare that with God. Imagine you are God, just for a moment. And you created everything, the whole universe, the whole world. You made this awesome planet, all these wonderful trees, funny animals, long necks and short tails. And you were just having a ball. You were just... God was like, just see this picture of God just sitting there on with his sketch pad and just, yeah, I'm going to make, yep, let's pull that neck out there, tail out there, oh, trunk out there. Let's create all of these wonderful things. For what? If he couldn't share it with somebody, what's the point? What's the point? If you are this awesome God, he can do these amazing things, but you cannot share it with somebody you love. And so, that's where you and I come into the bit. So he made us. That's the very reason you exist. It's for relationship. For to walk outside and look up and smell the air and say, wow, God, you are amazing. Or to, as Quibus said, look at your hand and realize, wow, I can do that. I can feel, I can touch, I can experience life. I have all these senses for a reason, for a purpose. So I can be amazed at how awesome God is. But that's why God made us. That is the whole point. That's why you exist, for relationship. And so God wired us for relationship. And what I just realized is, you know, I mean, the streets of heaven are like covered in gold. Have you read that bit or heard that somewhere? And the streets of heaven are covered in gold. It's not very valuable in heaven. You know what Jesus said? I'm going home. I'm making a home for you. They're making houses for you and me, because we are His treasure. Relationship. Everything is about relationship. If we remove relationship from Christianity or from faith, it's just an empty shell. It's just a clanging cymbal. You know, the singing and preaching and doing lots of stuff. If it's just, if there's no relationship, if there's no love, if there's no heart, then it's so pointless. It is such a waste of time. And I believe there are so many people that do that. Such a waste of time. You know, families, from outside everything looks fine, but on the inside everything is not fine. Somebody, you know, they call it crowded loneliness. You can sit in the midst of a crowd and still be lonely. So many of them as well. Looks happy, smiling face on the inside, struggling. Wasn't meant to be like that. I'm going to talk about that this evening. I just want to give you a little bit of an intro. So relationship is the cornerstone of the faith. It's the cornerstone of the faith. Okay, so last week, I shared with you about what do we want. Okay, so I spoke of, I gave you this one line. I said, friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. I gave you this mountain, and beyond the norm was moving up the mountain. So we need friends to help us to move up the mountain. You'll never achieve success in life without quality friendships. And I've named them DMFs, destiny-minded friendships. You need to have a destiny-minded. You have to know I'm climbing the mountain and then take hands with somebody else and walk this road. Okay, now tonight, I want to share with you, what do we need to be? If this is what we want, if we want friendships that are meaningful, that are substantial, that are special, what do you and I need to be so that we could have those friendships? So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Now, if I think about when I was younger, my family life was a little bit crazy. Dad was away lots when I was in primary school, and then parents were divorced, and so I was in between the two families, and it just felt the things doesn't want to work relationally for me. It didn't really work. I felt I was the problem in a sense, because everywhere, you know, things just didn't want to work. I almost felt cursed. I don't know if anybody's seen that movie Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt. In this movie, this is about a family of young men, three men, dad, and then this lady that enters the scenario, and then things just go crazy. Now, the main character, his name is Tristan, and in the movie, they say he's got a wild, untamable spirit. A wild, untamable spirit. He could never rest. He could never find peace. He could never... All around them, there was chaos happening the whole time because something was inherently wrong on the inside of him. And if I look at the movie, I sort of feel that that was sort of how I was when I was small. I couldn't find peace. I didn't have all the muscles and stuff, you know, but I felt that I couldn't find peace. And in the process, I was pulling down the relationships around me, even with my family. I was an angry young man since small. And what I came to realize is there are no self-made men in this world. There are only self-destroyed men or women. If we're honest with ourselves, 99% of the time when things go bad, whose fault is it? Now, we like to blame everybody else, but usually it's ours. Or it was with me. Maybe I'm the only normal human being here. I don't know. But the level of pain in our lives is directly connected with the quality of our relationships. Directly connected with the quality of our relationships. If our relationships are sour or turn out badly, then you're going to have more pain in your life. Do you agree? Experience that? Yes. And I've realized then... for me, one of the greatest treasures, wealth I've ever experienced in my life is to come home now and have peace. I didn't have it when I was younger. We were always fighting in our family. With my mom, my sister, always throwing a shoe at her or something. And now the greatest value, the greatest treasure I have experienced in my life today is to come home and to want to be home and to sit on the couch and there's peace and there's love and there's joy and there's a connection. It's awesome. Not many people have it. Not many people have that. And that's, I treasure that. Okay, so what do we, you and I, need to be to have amazing friendships, amazing relationships? Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Or a man who wants to have friends must himself be a friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So there's something you and I need to be. If you want awesome relationships, if you want relationships that are really, really unique and special, you first need to be something. Be a friend. And I want to share something about that. The way of peace. Luke 1:79. To give light, there's a prophecy about John the Baptist, and he gives us a key. It reveals to us the way to positioning ourselves where relationships will work. Luke 1:79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The way of peace is the key. The way of peace is the key for us to have relationships that work. I'm going to explain as we continue. Peace, the word shalom in the Hebrew. There are three words or three concepts that explain the word peace. Number one, wholeness that man seeks. That's peace. If you have peace, you have wholeness. It's something we all desire, we all seek. Number two, harmony. Relationships at work. Number three, rest for your soul. Shalom is much more than the absence of war and conflict. It is a place of wholeness. It's a place of harmony. It's a place of rest. And I want to look at each one of those three to give you some keys of how to have relationships that go beyond the norm. Okay, number one. You need to have peace with yourself. Peace with yourself. When I was 4 years old, it was the first memory I think I can remember. Sort of thing that comes up. I remember myself standing in my grandmother's kitchen. I was that high. And I had a block of wood in my hand. And I had a target, my sister. She was a year and a half older. She was standing over there. I had the block of wood, and I just remember I was angry. I don't know why, but I was angry. And so I looked at her and I took this piece of wood and I threw it at her with all my strength. And you won't believe it. She did a Matrix on me. The Matrix movie. She did a Matrix on me. And the piece, the wooden thing moved past her. It missed her. Ah, it missed her. I'm so sorry about that. I'm kidding. I've worked through it. It missed her and it hit the glass door behind her and shattered the door. Now, my grandmom was the most gentle, loving, nice lady you could ever meet until I broke that door. I got a good hiding. But it was weird. From the age of four, I had this anger on the inside of me. And if I look at my family history, my granddad was an angry man. I sort of came through the family. I don't know, but I was angry. And so as I walked through life, you know, the divorce, things happened, blamed my mom. And so the anger increased. And I was like this, I was just angry. And the anger just grew and grew and grew. But what happened was I built walls on the inside of me. I built walls on the inside of me. So I want to give you a definition of what peace is. Peace is breaking down walls. Peace, this is an image I want to hold before you this evening. Peace is to break down walls. You cannot have relationship through a wall. Would you agree? But many of us, we build walls. On the one hand, we build walls on the inside of us. We have divided hearts. There's this anger on the inside, or this can't find rest. You're always taking things out on people. That's how I was, taking things out on people because I had a wall on the inside. If we want exceptional friendships, exceptional marriages, exceptional relationships, you need to be an exceptional friend. I had to deal with my anger. I had to deal with the things in my heart. Otherwise, it would have really brought destruction. And so my dad, my parents divorced. I have a wonderful dad. I have awesome parents. I honor them. I respect them. I love them. But I've learned much. And for instance, with my dad, there was another lady in his life, and she was a broken individual. She, one time I was standing at four, grade six, she hit me through the face. She hit me through the face and said the worst things that you could possibly say to somebody. But those things had an effect upon my life, and so the anger grew and grew. You see, there are no self-made men. They're only self-destroyed men. You always have a decision and a choice to make how you're going to respond to the challenges of life. Are we going to make excuses, or are we going to deal with the walls around our lives? But so we build these walls, and then we push people away. We push them away because we are wounded ourselves. And you sort of get a split personality. You see, a person that isn't whole on the inside automatically builds up walls with the people around them. For instance, you had lunch from work. You went away from work. You're a lady. You came back to the office, and some other guy says, "Man, look, as if you had an awesome, wonderful lunch." And you think, that big? Did he say I'm fat? Did he speak about my waistline? Because he says, seems like you had such a wonderful lunch. No, he wasn't talking about your waistline. You just looked so happy, so he thought you had a wonderful lunch. But immediately, because you're a bit sensitive about your weight, you've got a wall out there. And it filters communication, so you react when you shouldn't have. And there are many things in our lives like that. Things that we filter. Somebody says something and immediately we filter it through our wall. Do you have any idea how attractive somebody is that is at peace with themselves, although they might be a little bit overweight? I tell you that is more beautiful than the most beautiful model in the world whose face is hanging, who's unhappy on the inside. A whole person is an attractive person. A whole person is a magnetic person. Or some other insecurities. Maybe often happens, you know, you applied for the promotion. You didn't get it. Oh, it's because I'm white. That's why I didn't get it. Immediately it's racist. Or other way, black. Or if you want to say some Springbok rugby player is unfit, then it's racist or whatever. You know, but that filter. So I'm sharing these things because I want you to look at your own filters, your own walls. Because I really want us to pray tonight together to see, to trust God for the walls to come down in our lives. But there's something magnetic about a person that has peace with himself or herself, a whole person. Somebody is able to enjoy life. Not restless, not unhappy, not always. So being a friend, two things about being a friend, a good friend. Number one, get a life. Get a life. You know, people don't want to be friends with people that don't have a life. So I'm going to help us here. I'm being very direct and very clear. Some of us are so desperate. I just want a friend. Oh, I just want a date, Lord, just once. So desperate. Oh God, I want a spouse or I'll die. You're going to die without one if you are like that desperate. Because you're going to push people away. Confucius said this is brilliant. Desperation causes perspiration, and perspiration stinks on anybody. That's a fact. You know, we all want great friends. We want the cool people or this or that or the nice girl. But you see, if there's desperation, you pick it up way far off, 100 meters away. Oh, I smell a desperation. They're going to run. They're going to run. It's a fact. People don't like desperate people. So I'm trying to help you now. So instead of blaming everybody else, saying they don't want to be my friend, rather say, maybe I need to deal with some issues in my life. Maybe I need to get a life. Maybe I need to get over myself, get over these things in my heart, and get a life. And I know it sounds very hard, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Happened to me when I became a Christian. There was these, as I said, you know, I had this relational thing. I always felt cursed in a sense. I had one really good close relationship. The others were like acquaintances, and things didn't always work out so well. And then this weird thing happened. I became a Christian. And another weird thing happened. I suddenly wasn't desperate anymore. Suddenly I had purpose in my life. It's weird. I had purpose. I suddenly wanted to live for God. I want to do things for God. And as I started to live for God with purpose, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I had loads of friends. It was weird. It's magnetic when somebody starts living their life. It just draws people to them. But if you're desperate, they're going to run. It's a fact of life. Who likes to be a friend to somebody that's really, really desperate? It's not natural. You don't want to. Obviously, we help people going through difficult times. I'm not talking about going through a difficult time. I'm talking about your whole life just being desperate. So I was shocked when I wasn't needy anymore. I wasn't desperate for a date anymore. I wasn't desperate for something anymore. Then things started to happen. In my own life, the walls broke down. And I want to help you tonight to let the same happen in your life. Okay, so number one, get a life. Desperation doesn't work. Number two, share your life. Step out. And this is another thing. You can have no meaningful relationship without sharing your life. We all want, you know, when we want somebody else to share with us their deep, intimate things. You know, we want to. We want them to be real with us. We want them to be meaningful with us. But if you don't step out first, if you don't step out first, if you don't take that step of faith to share something with them that's really close to your heart, they'll never be able to be a meaningful relationship. I found this in my life quite a few times. The one time I knew a guy, just not that, we weren't that close. But then I phoned him the one time and I shared something with him. And he's like, I can't believe you shared that with me. I took a risk. Can I trust this man? And today we are really, really close. But I had to take a step. I had to share my life. If you are sharing only a very little bit, your relationships won't be meaningful. In the same way, in a marriage relationship, guys, if we're not sharing our hearts with our wives, there can't be a meaningful relationship. We need to share our lives. It is a risk. It is a risk. But we cannot have meaningful relationship without sharing our lives. So you need to make yourself vulnerable. You need to make yourself vulnerable at some stage. Not with everybody, not with your heart on your sleeve type of thing. But you need to decide, as I shared about last week, which type of friends you must discern. This is a quality friendship. I'm going to invest in this friendship. And so I'm going to step out. I'm going to risk. I'm going to share something. And I'm going to test it. Can I trust this person? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. So sharing your life, you need to walk in the light. You need to step out. You need to take a risk. Relationships is a risk. And you need to decide, I'm going to share just a little bit. Give it a go. And you'll be amazed. You'll be astounded. I'm always shocked how people hold up, hold back. The walls around their hearts. Not wanting to share, not wanting to be real. You're never going to have meaningful relationships. You need to step out. So you need to get a life, and then you need to share your life. So the way of peace, this is what I want to leave with you this evening. I'm going to repeat it a few times. The way of peace demolishes dividing walls and enables beyond the norm relationships. The way of peace demolishes dividing walls and enables beyond the norm relationships. In any relationship, you represent 50% of the relationship, whatever that may be, marriage or friendship or dating relationship. And you can work at least at 50% of this thing. But the way of peace, break down the walls, get peace in your heart, get a life, and then share your life. Break down your own wall. Otherwise, you're not going to have relationship. It won't work. Okay, so that's the first one. Peace with yourself. Wholeness. Break down those walls. Number two, peace between people. Peace between harmony. Sometimes there are walls between people. I see it like this. I once shared this at a wedding. Imagine a frying pan and two little eggs in their shell. Are we going to have an omelet while the shell is still on there? Probably not. So little eggs eyeing one another. Hey, we're not going to have an omelet here. Unity, relationship, you need to break down those shells and you need to come together, especially in a marriage relation. But that speaks of unity, oneness. Even in friendship, there's a oneness that happens when the walls are torn down. So we need peace or harmony in our relationships. Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 15, this speaks of the wall. For he himself is our peace. We're going to get back to that. He himself, as Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, thus making peace. If there is a wall, there cannot be relationship. So you need to break down the wall that there may be harmony. Okay, so let's quickly look at two aspects of peace. The first one is false peace. Because often we run for peace, but it's not the type of peace we should have. So sometimes in a marriage relationship, your wife might be speaking too much to you, telling you to pick up your towel or do something else. Don't put that up yet, please. Go back. Okay. But sometimes a husband might feel this desire for peace. If she can just stop talking for a moment, this would be good. And so we want a wall up. We want to run away. If we could just have some peace, if we get a wall, I'm going to have some peace and quiet. But we need to ask ourselves, whatever you're going to do right now, the next step, the next thing you're going to do, what will be the result? Will it build a wall between people or will it break down a wall? You need to ask yourself in every relationship, every friendship, your next step, what will be the effect? Is it going to build a wall or break down a wall? Then don't do it. If it's going to build up a wall, don't do it. So there are a few things. First one that happens. You want some peace. So you go for isolation. You just want to be alone. Okay, now I apologize to all the ladies in the house for the next quote. And for Alimana, yes. Okay. The quote says, researchers found that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. Okay, no, that's not the good bit. People who had bad health habits, such as smoking, poor eating habits, obesity, or alcohol use, but strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits but were isolated. In other words, it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, ladies. But that's an amazing quote. Research has found that the most isolated, if you isolate yourself, if you're alone in your heart, you can be in the middle of a crowd and still be isolated. Still walls around your heart, walls around your life. Not sharing, there's no meaningful relationship happening. The result is you're dying on the inside. You're getting sick on the inside. That's the result. That's the consequences of it. So you can be eating healthy, but actually dying. That's the power of meaningful relationship. If you have meaningful relationship, you're going to live 3 times longer. Well, sort of. Other way around. But I think that's so profound. So we should invest in relationships. Your health. I mean, the whole world is going on about eating healthy and exercising and doing all these things which are good. Good. Daze, my fellow, it is good. But there's something more valuable that the world isn't speaking about. Relationship. Real, meaningful relationship. It is the most valuable commodity on the face of this earth. I will sell everything I have for meaningful relationship because that is what brings meaning to my life. How about you? How are you living? I remember I went to Angola once for 10 days. I was there on my own to prepare for a missions team that would come up. For 10 days, I was eating in restaurants. I mean, who wouldn't love eating in a restaurant 3 times a day? It was horrible. That's the whole thing why eating is so fun. It's when there's people they can talk with. The social thing is what makes food so good. That's what I believe. Try 10 days on your own. You'll find out. It's the people. Our soul prospers when we are in meaningful relationships with other people. And I'm trusting for us as a church to position ourselves and we say, this is our goal. This is what we're aiming at, meaningful relationships. We're not going for all the other successes of life. We want meaningful relationship. And I really believe God is speaking to me. But you see, but relationship, as I said, is a risk. It's a risk to let down your walls because you could get hurt. But there's something that is a greater risk. If you don't let down your walls, that's the greater risk. You'll be lonely. You'll be alone. And you won't be as happy as you could be, as blessed as you could be. We need to allow people in. So why should we share our heart? Or why should we want other people to share their hearts with us, but we're not willing to share our hearts with them? Be a friend. Share. Okay, so isolation. Number two, not dealing with issues. False peace. Not dealing with the issues. There was this husband-wife. After 10 years of marriage, the husband came home and his wife packed all her bags and left. He said, I thought this is a wonderful marriage. So that's why they say, always ask the woman, how's the marriage going? But the woman responded in the end and said, I couldn't take this anymore. We could never deal with the issues because he would just intimidate me. He would just manipulate or intimidate me. He would just get me to be quiet. And then he's happy. He's going on his life, watching TV, having a ball of a time. And inside she's dying because they're not dealing with the issues. They're not dealing with the issues. Do you know what happens when you don't deal with an issue? It's like you had a little wall over here. Now you don't deal with an issue. Now the wall is that high. Now you don't deal with an issue. Now the wall's over there. Now you don't deal with an issue. The wall's up there. Now don't deal with an issue. It's over there. You don't deal with an issue. It's over there. You don't deal with an issue. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to get over this anymore. I don't know how we're going to get dealt with these walls anymore. This marriage is over. You know, so with Sonic and me, we have a rule in our house. We don't go sleep without dealing with the issues. So we never get up the next morning with an issue undealt. I mean, it's such a part of our lives that if there's an issue, we're lying in bed and we can't sleep. There's just no way to sleep. Because we're so used to harmony. We're so used to connecting. Now there's like this wall in the middle of the bed. And so I'm lying there. I know I need to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this now. Because I'm not wrong. It's never me. And so you're lying there and you... And so now you're talking to God as if that's going to help. So he diverts you and say, no, don't talk to me. Talk to your wife. I'm not interested. I want to talk. Talk to your wife. And say that after a while, then you say, okay, then you turn and you say, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, it's a terrible thing to say. I'm sorry. Do you know how hard that is to say? I every now and again meet people and they tell me for years they've not said I'm sorry. You need to say I'm sorry. But that's actually where I want to get to. But if you don't deal with the issues, they become thicker, higher, wider, greater, and you get yourself in trouble. And that's if you want real relationships, you need to fight for the friendships. There's something funny here. Let's talk. What's going on here? Why did you say that? I want to sort these things out. I read this in a book. A guy said he and his wife, they were having a fight, and it has been building up like for months. And so for the first time, he exploded. And he was screaming at her. Stop it. Stop it. I hate you. I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. He was like, he's a Christian guy. And he's just venting on her. And this guy says, 2 months later, he had a son 2 years old. And he heard a sound from his son's room. And he went in and he listened. And he heard his two-year-old while the son was sleeping. And his son was saying, stop it. Stop it. I hate you. I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. How about that? He probably wasn't even near the argument. But these things move right through to our children and to the people around us. The words we speak. And next week, I want to speak about leaving a legacy. The effect of our words, the effect of our lives on those who come after us, spiritually and physically speaking. So if we don't deal with the issues, it's false peace. You're going to have peace for a little bit until there's an explosion. Deal with it. Deal with it. And then the next one, divorce. Divorce. How's that for peace? I just want peace. I feel nothing for you anymore. You've built up a wall. You've built up a wall. You've built up a wall. The scriptures say we should love our enemies. Then surely God gives us the grace to love our spouse for the rest of our lives. Truly, truly love. For a lifetime. Divorce. You see, there's a responsibility that comes with relationship. It's one thing to say, I want great relationships, I want a great marriage. But there's another thing when you say, but I'm going to be a great spouse. I'm going to be a great friend. I am going to be the one that God can trust. So instead of building a wall between you and your friend or you and your spouse, you and a loved one, why not put a shield around the relationship? Why not protect? Why not speak life? Why not bless? Why speak the bad things? Break down. Listen to this. Proverbs 16:28. It says, a whisperer separates the best of friends. A whisperer separates the best of friends. If we're speaking about our friends behind their backs, a whisperer separates the best of friends. You're not being a friend. You're not being a friend. Proverbs 22:11. It says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Why? I'm wondering why. Why would the king of the land want to be the friend of somebody who is pure of heart and one who has grace on his lips? I believe pure of heart because the person is trustworthy. No agenda. Not here to use you. I want to bless you. I want to serve you. I'm that type of friend. I'm not needy. I am a giver. And grace on his lips. I'm gonna encourage you. That king will enjoy that man's company because he knows when the king leaves, that man's company. He's edified, he's built up, he's encouraged, and he knows that whatever I told my friend, it's not going to go out. He's trustworthy. That is true friendship. Now, just something about divorce. My dad told me this. He tells us, I remember when I was in high school, he told us one evening late, it was very emotional. And he told me the hell he went through with divorce. He says, the one day, the 24th of December, we would be with his side of the family for Christmas. And on the 25th of December, we would be with my mom's side of the family. And so on the 25th December, the morning early, he drove us out to the western area of the Western Cape. And so he drove back to Cape Town. And he says that day, he went to a restaurant in the waterfront called Key 4. His friend's owner's there. And so he went there on Christmas Day, early, relatively early in the morning. He sat there at the table. He took out a book and he had his bottle of wine. And he was there for the whole day. And he said, God, why me? This is hell. This is hell. I'm alone. This is hell. And he said he was just praying to God and saying, God, this isn't life. And so my dad got remarried to a wonderful woman, still married now 15, 16 plus years later. And when his friends, because he's in the business world, when often his friends come to him and say they want a divorce, then he puts them down, looks them in the eye and say, you don't know what you're doing. You're going to go through hell. It is hell. That's why God says, I hate divorce. I don't hate the people, but I hate the effects of divorce. Divorce is a cop-out. It's running away from the issue. Somebody else told me as well, they're in their third marriage, or heard it through the grapevine, third marriage, and the man said, now, in his third marriage, if he only invested 25% of the amount of time he's investing in his third marriage into his first marriage, 25%, it would have worked. It would have worked. Now, on his third, he has to work so much harder. It's not true peace to run away. So I'm just putting it out there. Divorce is tough on everybody. Okay, so what is true peace? I'm ending off here. True peace is to let down the walls. You must ask yourself, what am I going to do now? Is it going to break down the wall or build up the wall? Break down the wall or build up the wall? So when it comes to conflict, humble yourself. As I said, as when I'm lying in bed there, my wife and we, wall between us. Even if you are guilty for 5% of the problem, your wife, actually it's 99.9%. I mean, come on guys, that's normally how it works. Well, that's what you think. But if you're guilty for your 1%, take responsibility. It breaks down a wall. If you, your little egg in the pan, frying pan, if you break your shell first, the other one would be much more obliged to break their shell as well. And we're going to have an omelet. Yay. Omelet is the way to go. So, humble yourself. Be an adult. Be a mature person. Say, I'm sorry. Okay, that's the one. True peace. Lay down the walls. Number two, forgive when somebody hurts you. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Then Peter came to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So did Jesus imply through that you're going to get hurt in relationships? Did he imply you're going to get hurt? Yes, definitely. Often. Do you know what happens when somebody hurts you? Up with the wall. I'm not going to allow you in again ever. You hurt me. Jesus says, no, lay down the wall. Forgive. Lay down the wall. You're going to isolate yourself. Lay down the wall. You're going to isolate yourself. Lay down the wall. You're going to break the relationship. Lay down the wall and forgive. Release. And you will be set free. And the relationship will be able to go on. And then just another thing about true peace. Now, we built a house about 2-3 years ago. And I had these builders. God bless them. You know, I've shared this before, but, you know, I got up in the morning and I forgave them every morning. I prayed so much. I never prayed as much. Every morning I'd get up and I forgive them for what they're going to do today to me. Okay, so there was lots of forgiveness. But the one time, I mean, I had a list of things they did, I mean, where they were messing up. And then the one time I caught them out. It was part of a complex, and then I found out that the windows, they made it 30 centimeters shorter than the actual plans say. But they did it on everybody's houses. And I'm now like sort of some of the final houses, last house, they're thinking, this is enough. This is enough. I got you. I'm gonna take you to court. I'm gonna take you apart. I'm gonna expose this wickedness. And so I was speaking to them, and it got ugly. It was really nasty. Nasty, nasty. And I lost my peace. I didn't have peace. I didn't have inside this peace. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't have peace. And no matter more I pray, I can't get peace. And I asked God, God, what must I do? And I felt God saying, let it go. No. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to allow them to walk over me. I'm not a sissy, you know. Yeah, male ego, you know. Got to show them. And God said, let it go. Let it go. And the moment I let it go, my peace came back. And I forgave them. And I got free. That is very powerful. My neighbors, 2 years later, are still swearing at these guys. I'm happy. I've forgiven them. I'm happy. Because I broke down the wall in my own heart, and now I have relationship. Even with these guys still, there's an openness for relationship because I didn't lose it. But how many of us lose our peace about nonsense? You're driving in your car, somebody cuts you off, you lose your peace. You're at work, somebody does something, you lose your peace. Somebody takes 20 rand from you, you lose your peace. We fight about irrelevant nonsense, and we lose our peace, and then we take it out on the people around us. Is it worth it to break down the relationships that you have for nothing? I don't know. Something I have decided is I'm not going to lose my peace over nothing, about worldly stuff that is not going to add to relationship. Okay, so the way of peace demolishes dividing walls and enables us to have beyond the norm relationships. You see, this is a tough thing. We all want great relationships. We all want wonderful friendships, marriages, etc. But when it comes to the difficult stuff, this is the difficult stuff. To live and to be a real friend. To be a good spouse. Don't give your peace away for nonsense. Sacrifice comes with relationship. And we need to be willing to lay down our lives. And then just to end off with, number 3, just want to mention this. Peace from above. I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment. Peace from above. This is what turned me around. I don't know where you are at tonight. But if you don't have peace on the inside, if you have not found rest, you're going to stand like this guy against the wall. There will be no relationship. You need to have peace on the inside of you. And that's the third thing about peace, shalom. It is to find rest. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, to find rest. Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 15. It says, for he himself is our peace. Okay, are we ready with that video clip? I just want to put off the light here. This is a video clip about 5 people, about sort of their testimony of what they've experienced and what God has done in their life.
How do I know?
I know because I was restless.
How do I know? Because I was wild.
Because I was addicted.
I was lost.
Because I was empty.
I know because I was living behind a mask.
How do I know Jesus is alive?
Because he lives in me.
Jesus did what no one else could do for me.
He took the punishment
for my failures,
my wrong decisions,
my selfishness,
my pride,
and my sin.
He was beaten.
He was mocked.
He was tortured,
crucified,
and buried for me.
But on the third day,
he did exactly what
he said he would do.
Jesus rose up
and walked right out of the tomb.
And in the summer of 1985,
July of 2007,
February 2005,
June 2003,
and in August 1995,
he walked into my life.
And I've never been the same since.
Now I am truly living.
Now I am sober.
I am at peace.
I am fulfilled.
Now I am free.
Now I'm found.
My God.
My Savior.
My best friend.
My Lord.
My Jesus.
Is alive.
The tomb may be empty,
but my heart is full.
I just thought that is a beautiful testimony of what God has done in their lives. And I must just be honest, my relationship wouldn't work today if it wasn't for Jesus. And that is really the key. You see, you can apply principles. You can try to apply principles like humble yourself. Do you know how hard that is to humble yourself if you've got a hard heart? If God hasn't come to soften your heart? Do you know how hard it is to be a good friend if you're so selfish because God hasn't dealt with your selfishness? It really is hard. And then the key is to come to God, to come to the one that says, He Himself is our peace. The moment I found my peace, my relationship started to work. Truly to work. Peace from above. And so some of us, you know, we run away from God. And I know some of us even, you're a Christian. You've walked with God for many years, but there are like lots of walls up in your heart. You're so afraid to let the wall down. You're going to have to. Otherwise, you're going to isolate yourself. You're going to be alone. Your relationships won't work. It won't be meaningful. Not the way that God wants it to be meaningful. Jeremiah 6:16. This is the last verse. It says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But that scripture goes on to say there, but they said we will not walk in it. And so every one of us have a decision in our lives to make. Do we want quality, meaningful, beyond the norm relationships? But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost me to humble myself, to bow the knee, to open myself up, to go to my spouse and to say, I'm sorry, even if it's just your 5%. But somehow break down the walls so that there is relationship. That's a decision each one of us needs to make. The way of peace demolishes dividing walls and enables beyond the norm relationships, the way of peace. And I want to encourage us as the band comes up. I want to encourage you guys. Choose the way of peace. Fight for the relationships. Fight for the relationships. It's going to add so much to your life. It's actually the greatest commodity, treasure you and I can ever have. Is to have peace in relationships. Would you be so kind to stand with me? Just want to pray for us. And I want to give us an opportunity to respond tonight. I know it's quite a bit more serious than last week. But this is serious stuff. This is life or death for so many of us. I often speak to people and they tell me their relationships are in chaos. Well, they don't have life then. I just want to pray for us. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for relationship, God. We thank you, Lord, for the way of peace. A pathway, God, a road that you want to set us upon where we can find peace with ourselves, peace with one another, and then truly peace from above. God, we all seek it. Peace. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here, God. We pray, Lord, for, Lord, so many relationships that are out of order. And God, we pray for so many walls that are up in our own hearts, Lord God, filters through which we look and respond, and so in a sense break down relationships. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would come to set us free, Lord God. Lord, we want to, even as with Jericho, Lord God, as the army walked around Jericho, marched around Jericho, and when they, on the seventh day, when they shouted, God, you let those walls fall down flat. God, we pray for the same in our lives, in our relationships. Lord, let the walls come down. No more crowded isolation. No more crowded loneliness. Even in our marriages, Lord God, no more loneliness there, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And so God, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would become soft tonight. Because the key, God, is to humble ourselves before you and to say, God, I need help. I need help. Lord Jesus, we welcome you in this place. And God, we know this is like life or death. In terms of the meaning in our lives and even our eternal salvation. So as every eye is just closed for the moment, I just evaluate your own heart and your own life. Just as if as people are praying softly. God, we thank you that you are a God of relationship. And Lord, I pray they will take the step to say, I need help. So as every eye is closed here tonight, I just want to ask you, if you realize that there is a wall between you and God, there's a wall between you and Jesus. You could be a Christian, but yet you know there's a wall between you and God. It's your life source. If there is a wall between you and God, there can be no life flowing forth. So I want to ask you, if that is you, if there is a wall in your heart towards God, just raise your hand where you're standing now. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Anybody else? A few hands that went up. This is your opportunity to make right with God. Don't live in isolation. Don't cut yourself off in your heart on the inside. If you raised your hand, you can drop it again. If you realize that there's walls in your own heart, in terms of your relationships with the people around you, you could be single, you could be married, I don't know, but you just realize there's in areas relational chaos, there's walls, you're not breaking through to meaningful relationships. If that is you, also just raise your hand as a sign to God. There are quite a few hands. Don't be afraid. Lord, we bless you. God, we bless you. Father, we praise your name. Just one more thing I want to ask. If you realize that there is not wholeness on the inside of you, not wholeness, you need wholeness, you need a healing in your heart, also just raise your hand as a sign to God. Just raise your hand. Father, we praise your name. Lord, we bless your name. You can let your hands down. You can drop it. It's fine. Thank you very much for raising your hands. I want to ask, if you raised your hands, to be so bold. There are quite a few hands that were raised. To just come and stand here in the front, because we want to pray with you. Just be bold. If you raise your hand, just come and stand here. Don't be afraid. This is you just dealing with God. Just come and stand here facing forward. We just want to pray with you. Church is a place where people are supposed to come to, leaving transformed. Leaving transformed, not leaving with the same issues and the same challenges. And sometimes this is the risk we take to say, God, I'm so desperate to get a life. Sometimes you need to be desperate to get a life. God, we bless your name. God, we praise your name. If you would be so kind, and all of us, just if you feel free to do that, just repeat after me a prayer of commitment to God and say, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a relational God and you desire relationship with me. And you also desire relationship for me with the people around me. God, I thank you for this greatest treasure, meaningful relationship. And so, God, I pray, make me, change me, transform me into the man, woman that can be a friend, that can be whole, that can be the blessing that you've called me to be. And so, God, this day, I surrender my life to you. And I ask that you'll help me to pull down the walls that keep me from a relationship with you and others. I speak to this wall in my life and I say, be removed in Jesus' name. I receive the grace of God. I receive the love of God. I receive the fullness of God. I receive the healing of God in my life, in my heart, and into my relationships. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I open the door for you to step into my life and to step into my relationships. God, right now, I step onto the way of peace and I receive the peace of God in the name of Jesus. If I can just have some of the ushers or some of the prayers, just self-facilitators, interns, some of the leaders in the church, just to come and stand with some of these people and to pray with them in a moment. I just want us to close our eyes just one more time. This is just for respect for people. I just feel in my heart there are some of us who are isolating ourselves. You're building walls around your life and you are isolating yourself. And I feel in my heart God is saying, you are missing out. You are missing out on so much. that God has destined you to have. There's a scripture that says, it is not good for a man to be alone or a woman to be alone. And that's not just speaking about marriage. That is speaking that God is saying, there are some things that God can't give you. It can only come through another human being. It was designed so. Don't settle for isolation. So as every eye is closed, I'm not going to call you forward. But if you feel that that was a word for you, as every eye is closed, and you feel that you are isolating yourself, I'm not going to call you forward. Just raise your hand as a sign to God, saying, God, I'm isolating myself. There are quite a few hands. There are quite a few hands. You can drop your hand again after you lifted it. Don't settle.